We had a Toastmaster, fellow Toastmasters and guests. Guests, we have two of them tonight. Good evening and welcome to A Tale of Murder on the Mountain. It's a true tale, and I tell you it's true, and you can rely on that because I wouldn't tell you that unless it were so. And it is a tale of evil. I can assure you that evil and good coexist sometimes, sometimes in juxtaposition, sometimes crossing paths. But before we get into the evil, let me tell you a good story, a story of a couple who were leading what seemed to be an idyllic life to outsiders who might observe them. They met when she was quite young. She was only 16 years old when they met, and although he was a good bit older, there was an immediate attraction, such an attraction that very afternoon, on a warm sunny afternoon, down by the riverside on the cool grass, they made love. They later left, went on with their life for about 20 years. There were children, there was traveling, they traveled back and forth between Texas and Colorado in their RV, having a good life, it seemed. Somewhere along the way, there came to be, as a part of their company, a third person, and they then enjoyed what some people might consider to be a somewhat unconventional lifestyle, shall we say. That went on for some time, there were children. It seemed all to be good, but it wasn't, because foreshadowing all of these events, far before they ever met, there had been evil, there had been murder on the mountain. He had committed a murder and he told her about it. There was some proof of this murder. In fact, there was a photograph. There was a photograph of the victim, and she was quite convinced that there had been this murder. But you ask yourself, why in the world would a person tell the woman they're with about a murder and go into details? Well, there was a good reason for this. The reason was, you see, that warm, sunny afternoon down there by the river on the cool grass, that wasn't love at all. That was rape. He raped her the day he met her. And he was just a bit older because, you see, in fact, he was her father. And he shortly thereafter kidnapped her, hauled her away, and kept her captive for, lo, those 20 years. This woman who was brought into this situation was not simply a friend who came along and joined a situation, whatever you want to call it. She was a hapless traveler who had lost her way, and she stopped at the wrong place to ask directions one day and was ensnared within that man's trap. She was in this situation for 6 of the 20 years that the daughter endured this. How in the world could one be kept captive quite that way? Well, it was pretty easy. This photograph, you see, was a rather graphic photograph. It was one of the dead person hanging in a tree, upside down, spread eagle and naked. And this wasn't just a photograph. It was a large poster-sized photograph. And it was hung right over their bed all this time. He would constantly tell her, if you run, if you try to get away, that's probably what's going to happen to you. Because I killed that man and I threw his body down a mine shaft on top of a cold Colorado mountain years ago, and I could do it again. But good does prevail, typically, when good and evil cross paths, and good prevailed in this situation because he was eventually caught. And he went to trial in a country courtroom in Burnett County, Texas. He went to trial and those two women testified. They stood up and bravely told their story. And I say bravely for this reason. That man was one of only two defendants in 13 years on the bench so far into whose eyes I really could not look. The first time I saw him from the bench, I looked at him and I saw pure evil. In fact, it sent a shiver down my spine. I was incredulous about the fear that I felt merely looking at this fellow. So I vowed not to do that again. I would then look at a button on his shirt or somewhere below and avoid that gaze again because he was truly a frightening man. And there are other people who I think have sensed that. He also had a way of charm about him. It was an odd character. But he went to trial. Those women testified. The jury found him guilty and sentenced him to a life sentence on one count and about a dozen, I think 10 or 20 year sentences, I've forgotten now exactly what, I think it's a 10 year charge on all of the others. He's now spending time in prison, and I hope we'll never get out. I did look into his eyes one more time, and that was the day I pronounced sentence, and was quite happy to inform him that the jury had found him guilty, and to sentence him to a sentence that I knew would preclude him from coming out to see the light of day ever again. That day, justice was served. He got his just deserts. The women were freed not only from their physical bondage that they had endured, but their mental, psychological, and emotional bondage. They saw a whole new life before them. But now you know the real story. The real story is not about good and evil, but it is really about the resilience of the human spirit in the face of evil like that. For those women to be able to stand up and testify the way they did. There is a prologue to the story, and that is that he wanted to serve his sentence in Colorado because it was, a little easier place to serve time. I don't know. And he cut a deal with the Colorado authorities that he could serve his time if he would do one thing, and that is go to that mountaintop, find the mine shaft, find the body, and solve a murder. A murder that actually Colorado didn't even know had happened until this revelation came about. It is a tradition that people serve their time in the place where they're sentenced, but apparently this reciprocal thing can happen. So a Texas Ranger carried him to Colorado. They got with the authorities there and went to the mountaintop. They searched. He never could find the mine shaft that he had alluded to all those years. So not having been able to uphold his part of the bargain, he's back in the Texas prison system, serving life plus a number of other sentences, and will never see the light of day. To the best of my knowledge, however, the women are now living happily ever after. I'm proud of myself. Adam Kosovich.